So the accidental prize involves two protagonists, and the excerpt that I'm going to read today involves one protagonist, Joel, and his grandmother, whom he affectionately refers to as G. So I'll wait for the students just entering to sit. A week. My mother wanted me to spend a week with her. She was a medical technician in a hospital in Atlanta and told G that she'd have some time off. In theory, it could work because I had a short exam schedule. But the two of us had never been together for more than a few days. And even then, it was here in the house with G. So a week sounded more like a year, especially since we were in competition season. I don't know about all that, G, I said, folding my hands behind my neck. She stopped her dancing and moved to sit on the edge of her bed, looking somber almost. Then she tossed me a disappointed look that I shook off. When she did speak, she was quiet but firm. Joel, that woman is your mother. I'm not going to live forever. When I gone, it's only she you will have. Your father sure don't look like he plan on coming around here anytime soon. That sat me up straight. Not the bit about my father, just imagining my life without G. In all the times I'd sat in this room, bombarded by these signs of her age, I'd never envisioned her not being here. Nah, not G. I was always supposed to walk in this room, into the smell of menthol and talc, and find her here. I was always supposed to hear her gravelly voice counseling me, advising me against something or the other. G liked to gossip and party. She wasn't no fragile old woman. Not that I thought she was immortal, but in my mind, death was really far off for her, not looming somewhere around the corner. So I've never really pictured being by myself. Was there something she wasn't telling me? You're not sick or nothing, though, G. Boy, don't call that kind of thing on me, she warned. Is you who start with all this death talk, I said, relieved. The undertaker don't want nothing with a sexy woman like me right now. No, I'm not sick. Well, not besides the little aches and pains here and there. And well, the sugar. You know how that is sometimes. So then why all this urgency all of a sudden? Joel, G said, getting that familiar cautionary look. We don't hold tomorrow. God will eventually call my number. Your mother never do no wrong by you. The worst crime she commits is sending you here to live with me. And watch how good you turn out. How long you will punish her for that? Nobody punishing her for nothing, G. I remained silent and started tossing the phone in my hand. G didn't get it. I barely knew my mother. Did she like to party like G did? What was her favorite thing to cook? And what was wrong with the way things were right now? Give the woman a chance. She trying. I shifted in the armchair, unprepared to delve further into this conversation. It was already getting too heavy for too many different reasons. I love my mother and had nothing against her. She was just better left at a distance. It was less work that way. Things were different when she was here in Trinidad because G always served as a buffer between us. Maybe she didn't give you an invite too. We could always go up together, you know. Me? She sounded horrified at the thought, stretching her question long like an accordion, as if I just asked her to join me on an excursion to hell. What I want with America at my age? After I wanted to see it so bad when I was young, I almost get locked up. Not me again. Lock up? You never tell me that one? Yes, boy. That was a long time ago, though, she said. It had this man in Grenada who used to organize for people to go to the States. We used to call him the General. You pay him a money, and he would give you an American passport that had belonged to some dead person or the other. You had to learn about the person's history just in case the customs officer asks you anything when you reach America. I frowned, wondering whether my grandmother was legit crazy. The passport I get was for a woman named Eulene Lorraine Adams. Was a nice lady too, from what I could tell. Skin pretty, just like your grandmother. The general used to pair you up with somebody so you wouldn't have to travel by yourself. Well, I had this younger fella. We leave from Grenada and went Barbados. One big hat on my head. When we reached Puerto Rico, I was ready for immigration. I had learned all about Eulene and her two children and her work as a cleaner in the primary school. Boy, I started to make up facts about the woman life and all. Gee, you can't be serious, I said, chuckling. I sure you didn't know your grandmother was an actress. When I tell you, I was ready for Hollywood. No, I can't lie. I was scared. But you can't show them that. That is how they does catch you. You have to watch them straight in the eye. Boy, after I chat up the immigration officer, so he give my passport two hard stamps, send me on my way. I start to feel nice. But then as soon as I walk to go for my grip in the baggage claim, I hear them calling me back. They hold the other guy now. G's nod was rueful. From the time I see that little Nashi fine foot boy, I know he wasn't going to make it. The poor thing was nervous. The eyes were shifting. When I reached back by immigration, if you see him, them two knee was buckling. They had asked him something he couldn't answer or what? Well, they was calling him by the name and the passport. Mr. Smith, Mr. Smith. And he was watching around like a damn bubbly as if he didn't know who they was talking to. The immigration officer tell me I was real good though. It's that bloody man who make we get catch. They keep us in our room for the night and then post we ask right back home, she said. After that, I didn't want nothing to do with no America.
Excellent.